4, verse 7. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. Title this message, Keeping the Faith. 2 Timothy 4, 7. Yes, called Keep the Faith. And that's where that phrase comes from, a variation of it, 2 Timothy 4, 7. Paul, near the end of his life, says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's have a quick word of prayer and then we'll begin. And Father, thanks for your word this morning. Thanks for Barry's message. We sure appreciate that, the idea of hope and what that means. And we'll see how that ties in with the idea of faith, keeping the faith, what that means. And how we have the privilege of just resting in our completeness in Christ. And that's a big part of what the faith is all about. Help us just to enjoy that and appropriate that during the week. And allow that to comfort our hearts and keep our eyes on the hope that Barry so eloquently talked about first hour. We can just enjoy our salvation and realize it's one day closer than yesterday and could come any time now. So thanks for all that. And just pray that our hearts and minds be comforted by your scriptures and that we, from the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope and just enjoy the day you've given us and the time we have left to study your word. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about this idea of keeping the faith. Paul says he has kept the faith, and I even noticed in one of our songs that the words were changed. I'll have to try to find them. It says it changed from the faith to my faith, and that's an interesting shift. I want to sort of discuss what that looks like in the Scriptures and how during the time of Jesus' time on earth, how he talked about faith and how it sounds a lot different than when the Apostle Paul talks about that. If you look at 2 Timothy 2:7, you're in 2 Timothy there. Take a look at 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7. And we always want to keep in mind this verse when we're studying the Scriptures. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee what?
Understanding
in how many things?
All things.
In order to understand your Bible, we said earlier the Bible is all for us, but it's not all to us. And you can understand the rest of the Bible by taking into consideration what Paul says. But I want to not get to what Paul says yet. I want to tease it out a little bit. I want you to think about the word faith and what passages come to mind when you think about the word faith, not taking into account what Paul says about faith and what the Lord Jesus Christ told him about faith. Any passages come to mind in the Bible about the word faith? Anything come to mind? Faith comes by hearing. Where is that found? Yeah, that's from Paul. I think he might even quote that from the Old Testament. Give me something outside of the Apostle Paul. Okay, what chapter is that? Faith is the seventh. What's this faith chapter? You heard that before?
Yep.
What chapter is that? Anybody know? Hebrews 11. Take a look at that. Hebrews 11, I believe. Got a long list of people in there. 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at how many people are listed down through here in the Bible. Look at verse 4, by faith who?
Abel.
How about verse 5? By Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Without faith it is impossible to please him. Look at verse 7, by faith who?
Noah
being warned of God. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called. What did he do? He went out. Verse 9, he sojourned. Look for a city in verse 10. Look at verse 11. Through faith, what? Sarah herself received strength. Down verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. How about in, take a look in Matthew. Let's jump over to Matthew. So a lot of talk about the word faith there in Hebrews. Matthew, let's start in verse chapter 6, run through a bunch of verses in Matthew, and you can find parallel passages in some of the other, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, similar passages, not always exactly the same, but similar feel there. Matthew 6, verse 26, Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of what? Little faith. I kind of wonder what that must have felt like. Like a slap in the face. Little faith. Lord, I gave up all I had, and I fall on you, and you call me little faith. It's like, oh, it must have been kind of a uncomfortable, kind of like one of those awkward moments, you know, little faith. Take a look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. This idea gets repeated quite a bit in Matthew, O ye of little faith. Here he's talking to someone that's not part of the leadership of Israel, not one of the 12. Take a look at Matthew 8, verse 5 through 10. And this is by way of saying this, he contrasts the faith that he has found so far. Matthew 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What a stinging indictment of the leadership that should have been the ones who welcomed him with open arms, and yet they rejected him, crucified him. And here's a man that's not involved in leadership. He says, oh, yeah. And he says, he gets it. And so notice how he's sort of quantifying and qualifying the faith of the people we've mentioned so far. Look at Matthew chapter 9. I want to show you how faith, when we're back here in, at this point in time, and even the way it was mentioned in Hebrews, that he's talked a lot about the person's faith, my faith. And yet when we get into Paul's writings, you're going to see a shift in how he talks about faith as a whole. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, let's see here, 18. Matthew 9, 18. Well, he spake these things unto them. Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may touch this garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. So again, he's finding people that aren't even really supposed to have this kind of faith. And there they are. They have it. And it's made a huge difference in their life. Look at Matthew 9, verse 27. The leaders of the nation of Israel didn't show any interest at all. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Back to the theme of those of little faith. So he's contrasting those who aren't involved in the leadership, aren't even the disciples. And notice how these people have had faith. And then he gets back to the disciples here and calls them of little faith. Matthew 14, verse 25. 14:25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to them, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So here you have the guys that are with him all the time having faith that doesn't really match up, but these people aren't even around him saying, you'll take care of the Lord, and he takes care of it. It's kind of an interesting contrast there. But noticing how the disciples, as Barry said, he's right there doing all these miracles, and then they still doubt. It's kind of interesting how it kind of falls back on them to not have the faith it took to really have that close relationship. Look at Matthew 16. Again, this theme is repeated. O ye of little faith. Just wonder how that must have felt to hear him say that. I was like, wow, me, really? I guess maybe I don't. It must have been a little bit of a sting to it there. Matthew 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. When Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith. It's like, come on now, how many times are you going to say this? O ye of little faith. I wonder what it must have felt like to them. Look at Matthew 17, verse 14 to 21. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. So again, how much faith is that? A grain of mustard seed? It's like
very small.
Pretty small. And you guys don't have even that much. It's like, wow, what are we doing here? You know, I guess get this figured out. Take a look at Matthew 25. Again, the idea that faith in Matthew and in the Old Testament is talking about the people's faith, and yet Paul says, I have kept the faith. I want to sort of quantify that difference as we move forward. So keep an eye on the person's faith. Or the faith that Paul talked about. He didn't say, I've kept my faith, did he? I've kept the faith. And that's a big difference when you get to dispensation of grace. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And I've heard that verse used in different religious settings. So when you stand before the Lord to give account of yourself, you say, I was faithful, and so great job, great job. And but there's a fine line there, isn't there? Because sometimes you can get puffed up by thinking how much you're doing and how good you are. As Barry mentioned, you talk to people, why are you going to heaven? Because I was a good person. Really? I don't think so. And that's not what he's talking about, good and faithful, a good and faithful servant. He's not talking about that. Okay, especially dispensation of grace. There is none good, no, not one. So you got to kind of keep an eye on this. I think a lot of times in religious settings, especially if you're in a church that focuses on Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, can easily get caught up in the idea of doing good works, be a good person. You know, follow the Lord, take up your cross and follow Him. You get to Paul's writings, you don't get that feeling, do you? There's none good, no, not one. You fall into that category. And dispensation of grace is more on the faith, and how do I get involved in that? What does it take to be a part of that? Let's take a look at, let's jump to Mark, a couple verses in Mark and Luke, just to confirm this idea here. Mark 2, verse 5. Mark 2, verse 5. You can back up a couple verses here. Back up to verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So someone's doing something to demonstrate their faith. Took a look at Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, verse... Let's try verse 19. 9, verse 19. Let's back up to verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And of course, he's able to heal him. Take a look at Luke. Let's move over to Luke. Yes, again, you know, it's the same repetition of this theme of faithless generation. The leadership of the nation of Israel should have been able to do some of these things too if they would have understood their role, and they obviously did not. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, there is again. You might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. And it should obey you. Take a look at Luke chapter 18. This is an interesting verse about faith at the time the Lord's on the earth. 18. Let's start at verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Wow, that's a pretty interesting indictment there. Is there anybody who's understanding? Well, if you take a look, when you start getting into Romans, chapters 1 and 2, what does it say about this idea of how many people really understood? It wasn't a lot, was there? In fact, what does it say in Romans 3? There is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He has concluded how many in unbelief? All in unbelief. That he might have mercy upon all. So you get to the dispensation of grace and things start to change, don't they? Take a look at Acts chapter... let's see. I want to jump to Ephesians. Let's jump to Ephesians. Barry mentioned this chapter this morning, and I really appreciated the study last night where he talked about how it's a good idea to have for certain chapters of the Bible, certain books of the Bible, maybe one, at least one main idea from each chapter, and you can turn to that chapter and point a scripture out to somebody. And when you turn to Ephesians 4, that's the one chapter, call it the one chapter, sevenfold unity of the Spirit. And I want you to notice how when Paul talks about, I have kept the faith, I want to take a look at some aspects of what he would consider the faith. Instead of my faith, the faith. And when you have faith in the blood, as Barry mentioned last night, we talk about all the time, that when you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, you get involved in something called the faith. Now take a look at some aspects of the faith here. Ephesians 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We call this the sevenfold unity of the Spirit. What are they? There's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So did I get seven there? Yeah, seven. How many of the seven have to do with the Trinity, or what we call the Trinity, the Godhead? How many of them?
Probably.
I see one Spirit, right?
And the Lord.
One Spirit in verse 4. One Lord, verse 5.
God
and Father of all. So three out of seven have to do with the what we call commonly the Trinity. How many of those do you have to do with as far as your faith and you making it happen? The Godhead has to do with you believing it is there. Is that because of your faith?
No.
Not even a shred. How about the other four? You got the body. Who's creating the one new man?
He's put you in there.
The Lord's creating the one new man. You're part because you have faith in the blood, don't you?
Yes.
Does it have anything to do with your effort creating this body? Now, maybe you're studying the Word, but you're understanding something about the faith that Paul talked about, keeping the faith, and most of it, as we'll find out as we go into this dispensation of grace, is what you're understanding about what God has already done for you.
Amen.
Who He's made you in Christ. Your completeness in Christ, etc. All that comes from Him and His effort. You're just getting in the flow. And all this, your little faith. Well, Paul talks about the faith. It's something he sees and understands the scope and sequence of what God's doing. He says, my goodness, unbelievable. And I get to be a part of that by faith. That's pretty cool. Take a look at those other things there. You've got the body, hope of your calling, one baptism. Think about baptism. We were just starting to talk about that with the girls a little bit more, because it's something you have to kind of keep recycling, that idea. And we talk about this with people that we know in other Christian settings about baptism. Where the last place that Katie and I went to church, one of the last things they had was a baptism service. And I don't mean the kind where somebody believes the gospel and they get baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about water baptism. And the pastor said, "We're going to have a lot more of this around here." And I thought, wow, he just doesn't get it. When Paul says there's one baptism in Ephesians 4, it's not like Chuck Smith says where all the baptisms in the Bible are somehow under that umbrella of one baptism. I'm sorry, it's one is one. Okay, Matthew says, talks about John says he's going to baptize the Holy Ghost with fire. Remember that? He names three baptisms in one verse, and not one of those is the baptism he's talking about there. The baptism whereby the Holy Spirit baptizes you into what? The death of Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All three. What part do you have in that? Did you do any of that?
No.
Not at all. When Paul says, "I have kept the faith," he's not worried about what size faith I have compared to... No, it's the faith is God has done all these amazing things for me and to me. And He's going to use me because of the faith. The faith is body of information that we've been given that was committed to the Apostle Paul. Yeah, right where we're going. This is exactly the direction we're going. Look at Romans 3. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When we look back and he says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Well, I have a feeling that was part of this whole idea of concluding all in unbelief. Even his disciples were like, "We don't get it. We're here. We still didn't get it. Oh, ye of little faith, over and over." But he concluded all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Look at Romans 3, verse 19. That word, this word faith, is used several times there. 3:19. Let me get out of Ephesians here. I was in Ephesians. I got to back up. Here we go. 3:19. Romans 3:19. Did I see it? Sorry. "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Let me stop there for just a moment. If you're not using the King James Bible, then most likely that verse read a little bit differently in verse 22. Instead of saying, "even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ," oftentimes it's changed to what?
In.
Faith in Jesus Christ.
Changes the whole thing.
Way different approach there, isn't it? Jesus Christ's faith and my faith. Let's see, which one would I want to count on? Okay, you're talking about the Lord's faith here. That's what this verse is focusing on.
It actually matches the faith rich in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when you put the word in.
Interesting.
Because
yeah.
It goes right back to that program.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
It never had a difference.
And this is the faith we want to focus on, is Christ's faith, exactly. All have sinned. How could your faith, if all have sinned, and you want to focus on your faith? Okay, that doesn't match up. What the fact that you've sinned means there's a problem here.
Yeah.
We've got to get this straightened out. You're corrupted. You fall. You come short of the glory of God. Barry mentioned that. You need some help. Now, the faith that Paul talked about, keeping the faith, has to do with Christ's faithfulness. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. That's the phrase we love to focus on over and over again. Faith in the blood of Christ. If you want to have some faith, have it in that. And that's what is going to get you into the program. To declare His righteousness. Does it have to do with my faithfulness and my righteousness? Not even a bit. It's His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Let's take a look at Philippians. You know, if anybody had a chance to boast, Barry talked about boasting this morning, it would have been the Apostle Paul. Think about in Ephesians when it talks about how we were without hope and without Christ, without God in the world, and all the covenants and promises were given to the nation of Israel. And Paul was in the groove. He was right there where he needed to be. At least he thought he was. Yeah, what did I say? Philippians 3, verse 7. He gives a long list of all the things that he had going for him. His pedigree, if you will, in the first part of chapter 3. Verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinks he has wherever he might trust in the flesh, I have more right than anybody to trust in the flesh. And he lists his things there in verse 5 and 6. But when he understands, when he talks about keeping the faith, what does he say about all those things that were going for him, that he had done, that he had accomplished, all these things he had done for to prove his worthiness? He says, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, you think he was sad about that? Look at the next verse. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, all things that I had going for me, for the excellency and the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Did he feel sad about losing all that stuff?
No.
Absolutely. Lost everything. Who cares? Amen. Look at what he got in exchange. I'd make that trade. You know, Ken and I are always trying to make a trade to make some money. I wonder if it's going to work out. Well, that's a trade. That's what they say on the radio. It's a no-brainer. There's no question that's worked out very well in his favor. This part of keeping the faith. Take a look at, let me see here. Let's go to, take a look at John. Let's go to John 15 and Romans 5. I heard this verse quoted, John 15, at the funeral, those guys that were killed in Benghazi, you know. And whenever I hear this verse, I always think of Romans 5. The point being made was that these men had sacrificed, given their lives in sacrifice to try to save the embassy, their ambassador, and things like that. And the verse quoted John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, does any other verse come to mind that can show an even greater love than that?
John 3:16.
Look at Romans 5. Romans 5. God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son. Matches up very well with that. Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. So that might be the same idea of man lay down his life for his friends. But God commended His love. So God has a greater love. Like Barry said, John 3:16, similar idea here. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did God look at us and say, yeah, you got the faith to take. There ain't no grain of mustard seed in you. It's a big old pile of mountains. No, not even. Says we were sinners, ungodly, not worthy, and He sent Christ to die for us. You see how He doesn't really focus on your faith when He talks about keeping that faith? There's this body of knowledge that Paul wrote about, and when you read, you just go, what would stop me from getting involved in this? What would stop me from wanting to share that with other people, to teach others who can teach others? It gets you excited about it when you study. That's what the one blessing that we find out when you get a chance to study puts us on the spot. Want to preach? Yeah. Go. Oh, man, I'm going to learn more this week. I can tell because you're going to get up and be able to share it. But studying is the fun part. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 1. We talked about baptism a little bit. This verse kind of strikes me. It's kind of almost a funny way of saying it, and yet what Paul recognizes is that when he says he kept the faith, this is part of what he understood that was committed to him. He says, In verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say I had baptized in my own name. And I baptize also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other, for Christ sent me what?
Not to baptize,
but to what?
Preach
the gospel. And so I think back to that time that pastor says, we're going to be doing a lot more of this, right? And I thought, yeah, but Christ didn't send us to baptize. The whole, he recognized that verse in Ephesians 4. When he started to figure out in Ephesians 4, he says, hey, there's one baptism. One baptism only, and I'm baptizing these people with water. Maybe that's not the issue. There's one baptism where I'm baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I'm one with Him. His death is seen as my death. And all I got to do is put my faith in the blood of Christ, and that becomes mine? Woohoo! That's pretty cool. Doesn't take any of this effort, baptizing, getting mad. It's missing the whole point. Christ sent him not to baptize. He's your apostle. You don't need to do it either. Or be involved in that. You have... Look at Ephesians. Take a look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1.
They do baptize. They don't even do it like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
For a show rather than...
It's a fair show in the flesh. That's for sure. That's exactly right.
And they were being baptized
into his life. Yeah. It's missing the whole point. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who because of my faith has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When you trust, put your faith in the blood of Christ, He gives you all these spiritual blessings. Not because of how much faith, it's just put your faith in the blood of Christ, and that's something that's given to you. Take a look at Galatians 2. Jamie mentioned this earlier. Galatians 2, and this is another series of verses that gets distorted pretty quickly when you start substituting in instead of for. Galatians 2, verse 16. 16 really gets messed up in other Bibles where it makes it sound like it's all on you, on your faith. But notice how it goes back and forth between my faith and the faith of Christ. It really has a division there, but your faith gives you access to the faith of Christ. Take a look at it. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And I believe in a lot of Bibles it would say by faith in Christ. Well, wait a minute. Faith, works of the law is my faith, right? Or my trying to work for it. But this is saying not by that, but by it works by the faith of Christ. So, faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And the other Bibles will change it all to in. It's like, no, it's back and forth. There's a division there. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I... but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. When Paul said he kept the faith, he recognized more than anyone the idea of Christ living in him, that Christ was going to get the job done, his faithfulness to his word was going to continue through him, and his faithfulness to do what he said he'd do. To form the body of Christ. And Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. He better follow through. He says, even if I decide I didn't want to do it, I better do it because a dispensation of the grace of God is given to me. But that same faithfulness is something that we can look at and go, you know what? Christ lives in him, but he lives in me too. Christ lives in me too. And if I just let him live through me, then everything's going to work out. That's part of the faith that he says when he kept the faith. He understood those things. Take a look at some things he says, like in Ephesians chapter 1 again. And ask yourself, does this have to do with my faith or something that God has done for me and will continue to do for me? Look at verse 7, Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through what? through his blood the forgiveness of sins according to the amount of my faith. No. The riches of his grace has to do with how much grace he has. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Look at verse 13. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were what?
Sealed
with the Holy Spirit of promise. God does that for you. It's not like if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, move mountains. No, it's just put your faith in the blood of Christ and then start to study and see what God's done for you. What He continues, what He is going to do for you. Now, the idea of keeping the faith, the problem is, and I've done this personally, you can walk away, can't you? Take a look at verse 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4, verse 4. Did I get the right verse? I did not. I think it's 2 Timothy 4. Is it? 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Back up to verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You notice how Paul says he kept the faith. He says, all that be in Asia have left me. But he kept on, didn't he? He didn't stop. He knew there was this body of information that was up to him. God gave it to him. Jesus gave it to him. Transfer it to the Gentiles. And he says, I'm going to stick with it no matter what. And no matter what happens to you, let's say it gets down here towards the nitty-gritty, towards the end. Let's say there's only a few people left that believe. Why don't you be one of them? Don't let it stop you. Friends that you're in with your influence that you have at school or at work, you might be the only one that believes. And sometimes you think you are and you're not. But you might be. Stick with it. Don't give up. Keep the faith, as Paul said. Don't let it stop you. Don't let anything discourage you. Paul's a great example of that. Take a look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a little bit scary. Back up a chapter. This know also that in the last days, what kind of times are going to come? Perilous. What does that mean, peril?
Not good.
Dangerous times. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. And it goes on. You feel like we're in the last times now? I think it's probably felt that way for like a couple thousand years, really, because Paul says, even during his time, everybody had walked away from him. People were just abandoning him left and right. And then he said, we which are alive and remain. Remember that verse? He's like he thought the catching away was going to happen during his lifetime. And here it's been 2,000 years. So, when Barry was talking about the election, I was thinking, it's like, I really want to find out who's going to win. And it's like, what if the Lord came before that? It's like, oh, you robbed me. I'd be able to think, I want to find out who won that election. Take it for it. All right. No, I'm just kidding.
If the wrong guy wins, we want to be wrapped.
Yeah. Believe me, when you're in heaven, all this is going to be like a distant memory. You won't even care. Who cares? You know, you do want the country to move in the right direction, of course. But, you know, we have the faith we're focusing on, folks. And it's much bigger than, as Barry said, an election. It certainly can affect how it goes. But God's not going to... the circumstances are not what determine how it goes for us, is it? It's the faith we've been given. I am saved by the blood of Christ, baptized in Him. I'm given all spiritual blessings. I have a hope in heaven.
Justified.
Everything. Just think about it. Just run down the list. All that, no matter what my circumstances look like. I could be locked up in jail for my faith just like Paul was. Bring it on. Glory to God. It's not going to stop me from focusing on the faith, keeping the faith. You're going to let your circumstances stop you? Don't get sidetracked so easily by things that happen to you or don't happen to you. Size your bank account, as Barry mentioned. Is that what you can have your hope in? No. Keep your eyes on the faith, keeping the faith, and that will stabilize your heart and mind. So you can, hopefully you can see how Paul, when he talks about keeping the faith, can focus on what God has done for you, what He wants to do through you. It is Christ, he says, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ lives in me. And that's the issue. When you can focus on Christ, it's like, ooh, that makes me somebody, doesn't it? It's Christ living in me. Not me. Christ living in me. That's why if you discover more who He is, what He's all about, what He wants to do, what His purpose is on this earth, to form the body of Christ, and you're involved in that, it's like, wow, it's a big deal. It's special. And I'm involved in that by faith in His blood. It's not me, but Christ in me. Take a look at Philippians chapter... Philippians 3. Let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. This is part of keeping the faith, recognizing things like this. Philippians 3, 7. Let's jump down to 9. I want to be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but by that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you think he was able to accomplish that? What did he say? He says, I have kept the faith. He was able to do that. He kept his eyes on that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He recognized that one day he's going to be seated in the heavenly places with Him. And he had gotten the job done. He had taken that information that God gave him, that Lord Jesus Christ gave him, and transmitted, and he lived even when he was in jail. And he says, I'm at peace. I've got it all I could ever hope for. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm in Him. He's in me. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What more could I ask for? Take a look at 1 Timothy and Ephesians 6. 1 Timothy 6 and Ephesians 6. 1 Timothy 6, Ephesians 6. 1 Timothy 6. And I think I forget this idea a lot of time, this image that this verse creates. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, tells Timothy. You know, when I watch boxing, it kind of creeps me out. Like, people punching each other in the face. Kind of like, ooh, it's too much. But we are in a fight ourselves, aren't we? Not so much punching each other, that kind of thing. But it's a spiritual fight, isn't it? Think of all the armor Barry mentioned last night in Ephesians. What's some of the armor you're supposed to wear? Helmet? Sword? Breastplate, shoes. What are all those tools designed to do?
Protect.
Most of them are defensive, aren't they? Sword, poke them once on, get out of the way. And like Brother Ted used to say, if you just stand there, it says, stand in the Lord, stand firm. If you just stay on the front line and poke once in a while, everybody else moving behind you, you're pretty much the one in front after a while.
Yeah.
Lead the charge, you know. Just stand there and hold the word forth. Use that sword. And protect what's been given you. Keep the faith, as Paul said. Take a look at Ephesians 6. Now, when Paul gets done talking, sometimes in these books, it's amazing how he closes. Look at verse 23, Ephesians 6, 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And let's take a look at 2 Timothy 4. And we'll wrap it up on this verse here. 2 Timothy 4. And Paul got to the end of his career. He's getting ready to be executed. He said, I have fought a good fight, finished my course, I've kept the faith. And he's talking here in chapter 4, verse 16. What it was like. Can you imagine if everyone leaves you, just abandons you, disappears? It's all on you. and how discouraging that could have been. And yet when he took a look at the fact that he had kept the faith, he knew it came down to him and the Lord. He's going to give account of himself to the Lord someday. All of us will. And our prayer and hope in this ministry is that by studying the Word of God rightly divided, you'll be able to stand before the Lord and realize that you kept the faith as well.
Amen.
You'd have that goal in mind at all times. We fall down on our face all the time. But God says, get back up. I've forgiven you. Move on. Let's understand our blessings in Christ. Let's use those to your advantage. That's why I gave them to you. They're all yours. Just read about them, study them, understand them. Understand your oneness in Christ, your baptism, His death, burial, and resurrection. Home in the heavens, seated in the heavenly places forever. You're going to work for me? Well, let's get started right now. And so he says here, where he could have been really discouraged, he's just talked about Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil in verse 14. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Man, call to arms! You look around, there's nobody there. It's like, oh. Okay. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, who stood with him? The Lord stood with me. So you don't have to look around, you just look and go, Lord's right here. He's living inside of me. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me into His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, Paul obviously had a special place, dispensation. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. Wasn't he a pattern for those that were going to believe after him, right? Pattern for them. When he saw that doctrine, he says, wow, it's only going to be glory, like Barry talked about this morning. Only glory from here on out. Let's get started now.
Amen.
Understand the gospel. You realize that your sins are forgiven, washed away. You're one with Christ. We're talking to the girls about angels. What do you need an angel for nowadays? They're learning from us. I don't need some guy around here, you know, changing my circumstance. The Lord says, I'm going to get you through your circumstances with a smile on your face saying, glory to God. Bring glory to me and my program, no matter what happens. Don't let your circumstance get you down. Let it be something that turns your eyes towards His grace. Grace be with all those that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. That's the people in this room here.
Amen.
We want to see other people come to understand that. That body of knowledge that Paul has given, the faith, says, I kept the faith. Just understand what it's all about. When you do, you go, my problems look pretty small when I realize this is what I'm involved in. Problems are nothing. They're just meant to point you towards the Lord. Now, I don't mean to belittle the problems you go through, especially if you're having problems with health and things like that. But nothing can be done against the truth before the truth. And Satan tries to tear you down, tries to get you distracted. Don't take your eyes off the prize. Someday we're going to be with him. Could be very soon. I hope it is, but it might not be. So you got to be prepared. It's kind of vague, but it could be today. It could be 1,000 years. You kind of have to live your life both ways, don't you? Live your life by God's grace as though it could happen today. And it might not happen for a long time. So keep it in mind all the time. Don't let opportunity slip by, for sure. Every day, every 5 minutes, you have an opportunity to practice God's grace. Especially if you have a family, close friends, people at work. You know, it's a constant opportunity to take God's grace and apply it in the circumstance of your life. Oh, interesting. Yeah. I have eternal life right now. Let's enjoy it right now. And it feels hard to enjoy it now because your body starts breaking down. You have all these problems. But our problems are working for us. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And that glory is what Barry talked about this morning. He's going to put us out there as trophies of His grace. I get to be part of that. It's like, yeah, I'm excited about that now. So don't get down, folks. Keep pushing, keep pressing ahead, and hope you have a good week this week. So, thanks for your attention. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thanks for this time we've had together. Really enjoy sharing the gospel of grace with the folks here, especially when you talk about preaching to the choir. Everybody here understands these issues, but help us to be strong this week as we go forward to share the word of your grace with people that might not understand as much as we like. And help us to be patient. And help us to be steadfast. Help us to speak up, as Barry said, speak boldly. Not about ourselves and our faith, but about the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He'll do for them if they simply have faith in His blood. It's really an amazing program. We get to be involved in that. So we're so grateful for all that you've done and your attention to detail and your promise to see us through anything that we face this week and on into the future. You know, it can only bring glory to you if we just trust that your word will see us through. And we pray these things in Son's precious name. Amen. All right. I think we're... No song, no clothes.